I'm now 6 months pregnant, so I am a little maybe hormonal. So if I tear up, then blame it on the hormones. Okay. Okay. So first of all, I do want to just share a little bit more about my upbringing so you have an idea of, where I came from. I won't share in too much detail, but if you do want to know a little bit more, you're more than welcome to ask later, but I'll try to keep it brief. I grew up in a family where my parents worked very hard. I'm sure most parents do. They were in the takeaway restaurant business. They actually had to work in different takeaways, and so at one point there was a time when they worked over 3 takeaways, so we rarely saw them. But it did enable us to actually go to private school and also have about 3 or 4 private tutoring a week. So not only was it rare for us to spend time with them, when we did spend time with them, it was filled with a lot of arguments and there was a lot of stress because they were tired. So from about 7 years old, I became increasingly sensitive to the lack of love I felt from my parents, lack of praise and lack of time with them. I noticed that my responsibilities of being the eldest of 3 sisters meant that I not only had to give up things I enjoyed, but I also had to look after them. At the time, I enjoyed it, and I didn't think anything of it. But as years continued, the expectations from my parents became greater as the responsibilities increased. The only things I would hear from my parents would be to do things or to study, or told that I wasn't good enough or could do better. During the holidays, I would spend most of my time studying in preparation for the next academic studying year, whilst my sisters were playing outside. I often was the top of my class for math, science, and art, and was captain of sports teams. But prize giving was just a time for my parents to tell me that I should have got this or that. It was never a well done. The threshold for praise seemed to be a lot lower for my younger sisters, and I would be sure to hear praise from my parents towards them, even though my results were better. This was when jealousy started to set in. The pain became more prominent as I felt unloved, and I felt that there was nothing that I could do to please them. I felt trapped in my own home, and I wanted to feel loved and appreciated. It wasn't until my mum became a Christian that I openly declared my faith in God when I was 13 years old. But as with many teens, I was easily swayed and distracted. My search for love and happiness continued. One word, boys. And then began my truancy and escaping out of the home in the middle of the night or sneaking boys into the house. There was a lot of lying and I became very good at it. I went from one boy to another, one lie after another lie. I was seen to be confident and a happy girl who had it all, but none of these things were real. I became numb to lying, numb to the attention from boys, and numb to friendships, as I felt that no one knew me. The fake exterior that I wore so often became permanent, and I even thought I was okay myself. I also experienced friends who broke my trust as they dated my exes. There began my multiple cycles of multiple identities with a lack of trust of others, including my parents. Whilst my parents knew I was pushing boundaries, they didn't know to what extent. Though there was one time I lied about going to a birthday dinner, only for them to pick me up in A&E after having my stomach pumped at 4 a.m. They didn't shout at me at all. And now, as a mother, I know why. Not only did I feel the black sheep of the family, I knew that I was disappointing them due to the frustration of the unknown. I wanted to feel something, so I went from one lie and one thrill to the next. Hiding, escaping, boys, partying, stealing, drugs, etc. And with each thrill, the numbness would follow. I had thoughts that kept going around my mind. All I want is for them to care about me and cared what I was doing. That what I was doing was good. That they loved me. But they didn't. They didn't care. So why should I care about my life? I then moved on to self-harm and attempted suicide. After, I would just break down and cry to God. Then somehow I knew to ask for forgiveness for my own thoughts and my own emotions. It would be okay for a little while, and then it would all come back again. I chose to go to university far enough away to stay away from home. I remember crying as my parents dropped me off. It wasn't because I would miss them so much, but that I loved them so much. And I knew that I was hurting them behind the scenes. That year, bad became worse. I ended up taking medication for depression, and I had anxiety attacks. See, this is where the hormones could start setting in. I'm prepared. That year, James's dad passed away. I remember crying for days because I felt that he was the only one who could help my parents to see who I really was, and that he could actually bring them to God as well. Oh, that wasn't very nice, was it? At the time, I felt really empty. Funnily enough, I got baptized that year. Like I said, I truly believed in God. So declaring that wasn't a problem. Even my housemates, boyfriends, knew that I was getting baptized. It was everything else. I was hardly at university, mostly living a lifestyle of waking up at 4 or 5 p.m. I'm sure some of the university students might be able to understand that one. I'd go to the gym for a couple of hours, something that I was really disciplined in. Then out at night to clubs, house parties, casinos, getting the free breakfast at the casinos, and going to sleep at 7 a.m. and it starts all over again. I had many friends from different groups and cities, no one whom I would share anything with, aside from a drink, a dance, or a bed. Then it was time to go home at the end of the year. I stayed a poor night wandering the streets of the city, bought some drinks for myself, and ready to call it quits for good. And then decided to call my mum. As soon as I heard her voice, I knew that I couldn't go ahead with it. I said that I wanted to go home, even though I didn't know where home really was. She drove the 2 hours to pick me up that evening. I quickly packed everything up as if I was ready. I even used a hairdryer to defrost the freezer just so I could get my deposit back. When I got home, my parents discovered the contraceptive pills I was taking, the medication for my depression, and also an open letter from the university that was dated back 3 months ago. It was stamped urgent. They wondered why I didn't open it. It basically told told me that I was deferred from the university because I hadn't attended. That was when my parents realized where I was at, and they began to ignore me. I didn't blame them. I deserved it. Then for some reason, later on, a few months later, James actually messaged me. At the time, he was the one I hated the most. It's funny, I'm married to him now. And he asked me to attend a Christian retreat. I was hesitant to ask my parents, but I had nothing to lose. Surprisingly, they said yes. I suppose they thought the same as I did. And that was when everything turned around. I returned home and sat my parents down to say that I was sorry for everything that I had done and that I am going to start anew. I asked them to forgive me and to be patient with me as I figured things out, and they did. It was a difficult 5 to 6 year journey of running away from old friends and boyfriends, rediscovering my new identity in Christ, enabling my parents to fully trust me and to forgive me, and learn who their daughter is now. I had to break away from the habit of believing that I am not good enough, that I am unloved, that my earthly parents could love perfectly. The idea that I am the victim and that it was me against the world or the world against me. I had to learn to forgive the people who had hurt me purposely and by accident, to forgive myself for all that I did to myself and to others. I had to learn to allow God to love me, as I realized that the feeling of not being good enough stopped me from allowing him to work in certain areas of my life. I had to let go of the shame and guilt, the feeling of trying to make up for all that I did, and realize the full extent of God's grace and mercy. There will always be consequences to every choice you make, whether it be physical, emotional, or mental. And you just have to pray for God to give you the courage and wisdom to know how to deal with them. My acceptance of myself didn't come until I accepted the love that my Heavenly Father had for me, knowing that there is nothing that I could ever do to him, to have him love me more or less. And also, I needed to accept that there is no such thing as perfect love from anyone, whether they are friends, spouse, family, a mother, a father, or even your children. Only God is able to love perfectly. Once I realized this, the chase of acceptance stopped, and I was able to live freely in the love of Christ. With all of that, I have become the woman of God I am today, one who always has time for people who make mistakes, one who is unable to judge because of the awareness of my own mistakes. This is the Bible passage that helped me during the time when I gave my life back to God. You can read it in your own time because it's quite long. It's 1 Peter 4, 1 to 19. It reminds me that I am no longer living by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And yes, people did and do think that my choice to follow God is strange. But I live for him alone, the only one who accepts me fully as I am. Lastly, I want to share that breaking bad habits, be it thoughts, emotions, physical habits, doesn't happen overnight. It is a choice that you have to make many times until you become free from them. Thank you.